The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2019 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2019. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
Okay, good afternoon. Thank you all for coming today. I know you had lots of good choices for discussions, and I appreciate you being here with me to learn how to use your God-given gifts, talents, and abilities to enrich your classroom. So I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. So please bow your heads. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this time, Lord, that we can get together as teachers, Father, and just share ideas, Lord, and just to get to know a little bit more about each other, Father, and just to understand how you've gifted us. Lord, you're our creator, and you have gifted us in the way that you have desired us to minister. So I pray, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Again, thank you so much for coming. We are going to have a little bit of time to fill out the spiritual gifts test. In a bit, I'll give you plenty of time to do that, so don't worry, you don't need to be filling that out just yet. I will begin by introducing myself and telling you a little bit of my story, because I think it will definitely relate to what we are talking about today. I am Lori Scarborough, and I am from Fairhope, Alabama, which is a little town on the shores of Mobile Bay. And as you can see, it's just a harsh environment in which to live. We are very blessed to have a lot of natural beauty around us. And I was kind of chuckling when I thought about Instagram and these pictures, and I thought, hashtag no filter, hashtag beautiful place to live, you know, what I was doing this slide. But anyway, of course I'm teasing. But I teach fifth grade at Bayshore Christian School. And this is a picture of some of our students and the grammar school faculty. I do want to share a little bit about how I became a teacher and how it formed my idea for this discussion and how to use your spiritual gifts and abilities. And I'm going to do that with three points. And our first point that we're going to go over is understanding your calling, and then we're going to work to recognize our spiritual gifts and abilities, how the Lord created you, how he gifted you, and then we're going to talk about how to apply these to enrich your classroom and to help your students. So a little bit about myself. I come from a long line of teachers. My great-grandmother was a teacher literally in a one-room schoolhouse in Troy, Alabama, early 1900s. My grandmother taught public school 5th and 6th grade through the mid-1940s, through the mid-1970s. And my mom, although a nurse by trade, got her master's degree, received her master's degree, and became the director of education at our local hospital. So she was a teacher to the local nurses there. I, however, never wanted to be a teacher. No desire in my heart at all. In fact, my second year at Troy University, I distinctly remember walking into the education building, because it's that magical second year, you know, when you have to determine what you want to do for the rest of your life. And I walked in and I took a deep breath of that school smell that was in the building, that's in every school building. And I remember turning around immediately, running out the door, and thinking, no way, absolutely no way do I want to be a teacher. And I never darkened the doors of the education building again. I graduated with a degree in business administration and marketing and went off into the corporate world, and that was that, or so I thought. 23 years later, I'm standing before you as a fifth grade teacher at Bayshore Christian School. And I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, I know without a doubt I'm doing exactly what God created me to do. And there's a whole lot of story behind that, but I'm not going to tell you today, but how I got to this point. But to use your God-given gifts and abilities, talents, you must understand what you are called. So we're going to talk about that. I think that's the first point on your outline if you're looking at your outline. Acts 17:24-28. The Lord God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God in the hope that they may feel their way to him and find him. Yet he is not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. So a call. As defined by Webster, a call is a summons or strong inclination to a particular state or course of action. An example would be a divine call to the religious life. So I started thinking, a summons, summons. Of course, I have an idea what a summons is, but I thought I'll just look that up and see what is said about it. And I loved what it said. A summons is a call by an authority to appear at a place named. I believe, it is my deep belief, that my calling, my summons by the Lord at this point in my life is to be a classical Christian school teacher. I believe that without a doubt. And I believe it is a call to minister to the children that I teach and to their families, and that the Lord has determined that is my boundary, that is my dwelling place for this allotted time. And he's put me exactly where I need to be. So why would the Lord call me to this, especially when I absolutely did not remember want to be a teacher? Last thing I wanted to be. Why would he call me? Why would he call you to this? Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has set or put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. As Christian teachers, we have to focus, we should focus on what is eternal. What is eternal? And who or what are the eternal things? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Those are the eternal things. And so these children who sit before us every day, they are eternal beings, not in physical body, but in soul. Eternal, they are infinite, they're unending, their soul, because God has set that in their heart. And so we must not think for one second that our job doesn't matter, that it's trivial, that it's by chance that you are there. It is not. It is a divine call. And you have the specific children in your care for the year that God ordained for you to have for such a time as this. That is a calling. That's a summons. And I will tell you, I do struggle sometimes with this. There are days when I'm exhausted, when I struggle with my call. I'm overwhelmed. I'm looking to the left and to the right, and I'm looking at some of these teachers in front of me, and I'm thinking, Lord, they're really called to this. This is their calling. Is this my calling? But those are the days when I am focusing on myself, and I'm trying to fulfill my call within my own strength, and I cannot do that. I must look to the cross, because if I'm trying to focus on myself, if I'm trying to gain the strength to endure on my own, I'm going to walk into my classroom, I'm going to smell the school smell, and I'm going to run right out again, because that's my flesh there. So we must rely on him to understand why we are there and to understand our call. So in order to use your spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities, you must understand and recognize how you are gifted, how you are gifted. Okay, what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is an extraordinary power or an endowment given by the Holy Spirit to believers. Important note, to believers. Non-believers are not given spiritual giftings. This is the Holy Spirit that has given this gift to believers. So why are they given? The Bible says they are given for the edification or the building up of the church and the ministries of the church. Now, my particular school where I teach, Bayshore Christian, is an actual physical ministry of my home church, Eastern Shore Presbyterian. Some of your schools are not connected with churches in that way. But I believe Christian education is a ministry of the church universal. We are called to minister to our children and to raise them up. Deuteronomy 11:18 through 21. You shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorpost of your home and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Father swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. And we as parents, many of us are parents, and as teachers, we are walking alongside other parents in the education and instruction of their children to instruct them in the way of the Lord so that they may put their hope in Him. And the Lord will use you and how you are gifted to do that. So spiritual gift, again, gift from the Holy Spirit to believers. So as I was thinking through what I thought my spiritual giftings are, and then the question kept coming to mind, well, what about a talent? A talent. A talent is a natural ability, all right? A natural ability or aptitude with which you're born with it, and it develops over time. We're born with talents to do certain things. You are not born with a spiritual gift. When you are born again, you get a spiritual gift. So that's a huge distinction. But the Lord God is the giver of both. And we all know plenty of non-Christians who are extremely talented people. Extremely talented. We know those non-believers that can sing beautifully. They're athletically gifted. They're artistic. Sometimes we're jealous of these things, you know. I mean, we know plenty of non-believers with quite a bit of talent. My son is a talented soccer player. He loves the game. He's disciplined. He just plays every day. He does not have the spiritual gifting of soccer skills. That is an ability he has developed over time. It's just a talent that he has. So some of you here today may not have ever really thought about, Lord, how am I gifted? Or you may wonder, I've noticed this about myself, but I don't really know why I think this way or why I react this way. But hopefully we will be able to get to the bottom of that. In a moment, we are going to actually take the spiritual gifts test that you got when you came in. It's probably going to take 15 to 20 minutes for you to take, but it will definitely point you in the right direction. It's a spiritual gifts test I downloaded from Lifeway, and it was just a real simple but straightforward test, and was very effective. So that is good, what we're going to do in just a second. There, you have a sheet also that I gave you with three questions to help you discern your spiritual gifts. All right, these are kind of just it's a warm-up for your brain, okay? So there's the front side, three questions to help you discern spiritual gifts. The back, three questions to determine talents and abilities. So the first question, what need am I specifically drawn to meet? You may not even know why you're drawn to meet it, but this need comes up consistently, and you feel a drawing to meet it. Number two, what kind of work brings me joy, deep, abiding joy? What kind of work? Number three, in what task or jobs do I succeed? All right, flip over, talents and abilities. What are natural abilities or talents that you possess, that you have possessed from a very early age? Something your mom, your grandma, whoever. Oh, you're so good at this. You do such a great job with this. Natural ability. What do others notice that you do well? Number three, what do you naturally do well that may set you apart from others? Maybe nobody else notices that you do it well, but you know you do it well. So what do you naturally do well that may set you apart? So before you do your spiritual gifts test, I want you to answer these questions, because in real short answers, don't take too long, but I want you to compare how you answer this with your results from your spiritual gifts test. So we are going to do that right now. If you'll pull out your spiritual gifts test, I'm going to give you 15 to 20 minutes to finish that. And we may need to cut it a little bit short, but if you by chance don't finish, you certainly can finish it a little bit later. So let's get started on that. Oh, and one note, this is important. Forgot to mention, I want your first gut reaction. Don't just answer and you see, I love to serve others, and you think, oh, I really wish I loved to serve others, but you don't, right? I want your first instant reaction, because that's going to be the truest indication of what your gifts are, okay? Okay, we're going to move on. Y'all didn't know you were getting a big test today, did you? And this was one of the shorter ones I found. Hopefully that is very helpful, a very helpful tool for you to identify your spiritual giftings. And definitely, if you did not finish, I encourage you to do that. I wanted to take a few minutes and explain the different types of spiritual gifts. And when you start researching for a topic, you learn so much. And I was really just tickled to learn about spiritual gifts in this way. In the Old Testament, there were three very important roles in Jewish society, or positions of authority. And those were the role of prophet, priest, and king. And of course, the prophets that we know of, Isaiah, Elisha, Elijah, Samuel, priests, Aaron, Zadok, the kings, of course, King David, Solomon, Hezekiah, and so on. And each of these roles or positions of authority served different areas of society, of the Jewish people. And in Jesus Christ, we know that we have the fulfillment of all three of these. He's our prophet, our priest, and our king. But often spiritual gifts are classified in this way, as prophetic gifts, priestly gifts, and kingly gifts. The prophetic gifts tend to be the more declarative gifts, or the speaking of truth to the body. The priestly gifts are the gifts of service. And then the kingly gifts, you could imagine, are the gifts of leadership. And so you have this paper that I gave you, listing of spiritual gifts. I just want to go through that. This helped me to separate them in my mind. So the prophetic gifts, exhortation. This is the supernatural ability to encourage and understand others. Members with this gift are good counselors. Teaching. The supernatural ability to communicate spiritual truths in a way that people understand and retain it. So that's spiritual truths. Prophecy. The ability to proclaim the word of God boldly. Members with this gift are preachers and teachers in the body. Evangelism. The ability to relate to non-believers and communicate the gospel. Not nervous to do that. That's just something they do. Discernment, the ability to judge motives and to recognize true intentions within and related to the body of believers. All right, those are the prophetic gifts. And this list is not exhaustive. There are other gifts mentioned, but for the purposes of what we're talking about today, we're going to focus on these gifts. The priestly gifts, giving, the supernatural ability to spot a need and meet it, whether it's financial, emotional, or physical, for the work of the church. service and helps. This is the ability to recognize and meet the practical needs, the more physical needs of others, fixing a car, fixing a roof, that kind of thing. Members with this spiritual gift work behind the scenes. A lot of your deacons in your church may have the spiritual gifting of helps and service. Mercy, the supernatural ability to love the unlovely and to ease suffering in others. The one who possesses this gift is able to deal with suffering. They're able to lean into suffering and be in it with other people. An example that I read was someone who might work in a nursing home, and they have a heart for people who are suffering, truly. Hospitality, the supernatural ability to open your home and heart to those in need. You're able to encourage others with resources you have and to make other people feel comfortable. And then shepherding, the ability to look out for the spiritual welfare of others. That's the shepherding gift. So those are the priestly gifts. The kingly gifts. Leadership, the ability to motivate people to work together in unity toward common goals in and for the church. One interesting note about leadership, I always think in my mind leaders are highly organized people. Not so. I learned they really, a lot of the time, are not, but they are very good at motivating people and getting people to follow them. Administration. The supernatural ability to order processes and steps to reach a goal. I think of spreadsheets with administration. Just orderly thought process. Wisdom, the ability to solve problems. The person with this gift has a deep understanding of the Holy Spirit in the church and applies his teachings and actions to the needs of the body. Faith, the ability to set goals with tremendous confidence. God is going to do this. Apostleship, missionary, the ability to motivate believers to look at the harvest and to take the gospel to the lost world. And evangelism and the gift of missions or missionary, I was getting those a little bit confused, but a person with the gift of being a missionary can cross cultures very easily. I thought about our speaker yesterday, John Smith, and his ability to learn language and all of that. Knowledge, the God-given ability to learn, know, and understand or explain the truth of Scripture. Someone with this spiritual gift is a disciple maker and excels in teaching and training of others. So wherever you fail in your spiritual gifts test, hopefully this will give you an idea of how you're gifted. All right, so some of you at this point may be figuring out that your primary spiritual gift is not teaching. And we're all teachers. You all, I know, are extremely talented teachers, but that may not be your primary gifting. It may be a supporting gift. It may be a secondary gift that you have. Would the Lord call you? Would the Lord call you? Would he summon you to do something that is not your primary gift? Yes, absolutely. We're all called to minister in different ways. We're all called to serve. Some of us, that is our natural gift. We want to do that. My husband is that way. He loves to serve people, which works out great for me, I have to say. But it brings him deep, abiding joy to serve and help. That's not my gift, I will tell you. It's not my gift. I wish it were, but it's just not. But I am called to serve as a Christian. So we definitely need to be obedient in that. We can't say, oh, well, not my spiritual gifting. You know, not going to do it. All right, so you figured out what your gift may be. How do you apply it in your classroom? Now, I'm going to give you some examples in just a second of how I've done that. But you may be a teacher who doesn't have the primary spiritual gifting of teaching, but you may have the gift of mercy. And so I would say to you that God, in his graciousness and goodness, is going to place a child in your classroom who needs to be given mercy and shown mercy in a very unique way. And only the Lord knows that. And you are going to minister to that child. So that's exciting, that he will use your spiritual gift in your classroom. Okay. Applying your spiritual gifts. I didn't tell all my teacher coworkers they were going to be on the slide, so I hope that's okay. Okay, my personal profile. My spiritual gift is discernment. Secondary or even further down, teaching, leadership. How does discernment play out in my classroom? One funny story happened last year that really I thought of immediately when I was thinking through this. I had a little student, Brooks, who I taught for actually 2 years consecutively, and his mom told me that the family was sitting around the table one night just talking. They were not talking about school. They were not talking about Miss Scarborough. They were just talking about the day or what have you. And all of a sudden, Brooks, who was in fifth grade at the time, he, out of nowhere, he says, "Mom, Dad, I think Miss Scarborough can read my mind. She knows what we are going to do before we even do it." Okay, obviously I cannot read minds. I wish I could, but I can't. But I have seen the Lord use my spiritual gift of discernment to see motives of children, maybe sense sadness, maybe direct my heart to a child who's struggling. Maybe there's a conflict between children that hasn't yet erupted. I've seen the Lord lead me in that, and I've seen him use my gift of discernment in that way. Talents and abilities, if you would call it that. I have a quirky ability to rhyme words with music, make up tunes in my head. I'm a work in progress, of course, but one thing I've done, just using that quirky talent, I've written some history songs for the medieval timeline. I was really bored with what we had, and I wanted to make it exciting for the kids. And when I was, when I was teaching fourth grade, and I mean, Mohammed II, the Great Papal Schism, those aren't the most exciting things to talk about. So I've always just had this ability to think of a tune in my head and make up words, and so I did, and we started singing them. And they've been very successful in our school, in our classroom. I cannot read music, however. So I would record on my phone my little tune and my little lyrics, and I would send them to my friend Ellen Jones, who's the music teacher at our school. And she used her ability, her talent, to put my crazy tunes to sheet music. She did that. It's the body at work. The artwork. This is the artwork of a junior at our school, Olivia Rayner, incredibly talented artist. I thought of her, and I thought, hey, this would be great to get her involved. And so she did that. The kids were so excited because we recorded a CD. And our headmaster, Pam McKee's husband, Jeff, member of our church, recorded the CD for me with the kids. What a patient man, me and 34 children. And they had to be so still and quiet, and he was wonderful. But this is a result of the body of Christ at work, using their gifts and abilities and talents. So I wanted to share that with you. Okay, so what I want to do, just in closing, I want to encourage you that however you're gifted, there may be days when you just think, I'm really struggling. Lord, I'm really struggling with this call in my life. You're comparing yourself to other teachers. Don't do it. The Lord has called you to this specific place, to this boundary indwelling place in your life, because he wants to work through you. Don't compare yourself to others. It's something that we do. So whatever your spiritual gifting is, he will use it. If you can't quite figure it out, don't worry. He's going to use you anyway. If we're focused on him and our eyes and our focus are on him, he will use us for his kingdom work. So I want to, we have a couple of minutes. I don't know. Do any of you know what your spiritual giftings are? Would you like to share maybe the way you see God working in your classroom? Anybody? Bayshore teachers? That's okay. Okay, I'd love to hear it. That's awesome. What a gift for a teacher to have. Your classroom can be a home for those kids, really, for throughout the year, welcoming and warm. And the compliment, you compliment each other. That's neat. That's really neat. Anybody else? They're wrong. Right. Right. Absolutely. That's why my husband's gift of service is, it's so apparent in his life. And I feel like my lack of it is so apparent in my life, you know. But yeah, you're absolutely right. A husband might be a good one to, or your partner teacher, that might be a great idea. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll say, if you have a project in the back of your mind, or you think, oh, I really want to develop this curriculum, or I want to tweak this, go for it. Go for it. It's fun. I mean, you know, you don't have to stay in that box if it's something that's going to help your children learn. So, anybody else? Okay, thanks for sharing. All right, well, I am going to read a poem to you, and I just want to keep in the forefront of our minds what is truly important, and that is that these children are eternal beings, they're eternal souls, and we are investing in eternity. And I feel like we have the most wonderful job in the world. I really do. It's very humbling. But I wrote this poem as I was thinking about all of this. So I have some copies if you want it. You are not going to hurt my feelings if you don't want it. But I was just going to share it with you. It's called, the title is Eternal Eyes. In your eyes, I see eternity, a soul that will live on, far beyond the days of childhood, far beyond each sun-touched morn. May I pour the gospel faithfully into your precious hearts, while the Father draws you nearer and the seeds of truth do sprout. I do not know how long it will take them to hold and grow. I must do what I am called to do, no matter how hard or slow. My prayer for you, my loves, who sit in front of me, day after precious day, is that you seek eternity. Our sweet and holy Savior calls you to something more than what this world does offer behind each shining door. Seek him with all your life, whole, true, and pure. Give all that you can give each day, for he is who endures. For one day, glory will reveal the small cost for me each day, were so worth every tear that I shed along the way. For I will see face to face my precious Savior Christ, and I will look from left to right to see eternal eyes. So remember that. I'm going to pray for us. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this time with these sweet people. Lord, I don't know all their names. I don't know where they're from, but Father, you do. And you have set their boundary and their dwelling place for where they are. Father, I pray that you will prosper them there, that you will surround them with your peace, Father, and just absolute assurance that they are exactly where they're supposed to be. May you use our gifts that you have given us to your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.